I really want you to open up my mouth to not what you want me to say, but what you want to say to the people here, Lord, that they've made it out here, and it's going to be a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, let's hope that everybody says that and that everybody leaves here with just a nugget of truth that they hear from this speaking, and we'll give you all the praise. Amen. Okay, we're going to turn. The scripture reading has 2 Corinthians 11, 24. And I see you guys all made it through Christmas and New Year's, and it's a brand new world, right? All your troubles from 2021 have disappeared, and it's a new, you turn over a new year, and everything just gets beautiful and nice. Okay, I'd like to know your secret if you do have that. So, starting in the end of 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prison more frequently, in death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in the perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I must boast in the things which concern my infirmity. May God add the blessing to this word. So, you know, the old song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And I think that's kind of what Paul's saying here, that, you know, he hasn't lived a good life. It hasn't been easy. And I think that's all of us are really desire that, you know, especially in this world, in this day and age, that, you know, it seems that just we're pushed down from all around. You know, no matter what you do and you plan, nothing comes true. That great theologian Carly Simon, she's not the psalmist, 1971, she had a song. We can never know about the days to come, but we think about them anyway. And I wonder if I'm really with you now or just chasing after some fine day. And then you guys, the next rest of the word was anticipation. I wouldn't sing it, but anticipation is making me late, is keeping me, I can't read my writing. It's keeping, it happens. Okay. But the refrain is, these are the good old days, for these are the good old days. Do you ever wish that you had the good old days? The anticipation when life was simpler? You know, I was thinking about anticipation. You know, when you used to grow up, when you were a little kid, you couldn't wait for Christmas. You know, you couldn't wait for your birthday because you knew that there was good things coming. And our society's getting, that word anticipation is really tough. You know, not only do we have, you know, you make plans. You know, and it, I don't know if you guys feel like it, but, you know, when you make plans, you know, that you almost need that asterisk at the bottom and say subject to change. You know, that you plan to do something, you plan to go someplace. My wife and I were going out on Christmas Day to visit my sisters out in Ohio. And we got around Butler, and we got a phone call from my sister that said she had been with somebody the night before that just tested positive for COVID. And she said, so you guys probably shouldn't come out. My sister didn't end up getting COVID, but so we're in Butler, PA. You know, we were headed to Youngstown halfways. It's Christmas. So, you know, what do you do? And I talked to my other sister who lives 10 minutes away, and she kind of said, well, we don't have anything to eat. Which I think was really like, wasn't what I thought she was going to, like, open arms. Well, you can stay at our house or, you know, so we, like, didn't know what to do. Like, what do you do? So we pulled off, and because I don't think too well when I'm driving. And we decided that a couple years ago, my wife and I decided that Christmas we were going to go to the Chinese restaurant, the gourmet buffet, okay, because my mom was in the nursing home, and they weren't having a special dinner, so we figured we'll go to the Chinese restaurant, and then we'll just go down and visit her. So that's kind of been our tradition. If we haven't gone any place, my son said they had plans, so we were like, so we're in Butler, PA, and what do? You know? So I said, well, what do you think? Do you think there's any Chinese restaurants around here? So Cindy gets out her Google phone, her phone, and she says, there's one 5 minutes away. So we ate Christmas dinner at a Butler Chinese restaurant. So you have those plans, and that's really what got me thinking about anticipation. And, you know, it used to be only in the wintertime, or if you're a sports figure, you know, you always had a game, and, you know, but if it rained really bad, your game was canceled. You know, so you had that anticipation of what's that going to happen. But it used to only be the weather that changed things. You know, if the roads got too bad, then you didn't do anything. But we're getting that now that, you know, demands are being put on us. Whether to wear a mask, not wear a mask. Do you go out in public? I think sometimes, I don't know, I feel, and I think a lot of people are just wishing we could go back to January 2020. We could go 2 years away, 2 years back. There'd be no COVID. You know, there'd be no gas prices that seem to be going out of the road, out of the world. No inflation. There wouldn't be this divide in our country. I mean, there was a divide then, but you know, politically, you know, if you think at what we went through the election of 2020 and the Donald Trump and the Joe Biden and the differing sides, and, you know, we wouldn't be putting up with things like, you know, asking that you had to ask somebody what their gender was today. You know, there's gender fluid. You know, you're not supposed to assume that somebody's a guy or a girl, you know, and you ask them what name do you go by, what name are you going by today? You know, we got three, you know, they're saying that three-year-olds can decide what sex they're going to be, if they're going to be male or female. And as a Christian, it's just real hard. You know, we want to go back to those good old days. I don't know if you guys think that sometimes you just don't feel like you're in control of this world, of your life. You can't control things. Does anybody ever feel that way? That you're not in control anymore. You know, and mostly you say, God, what are you doing? You know, why is this happening? There's a pastor, Rob Reamer, who says, God's not up there wringing his hands and saying, man, I didn't see that one coming. I didn't know COVID was coming. I didn't know Joe Biden was going to be elected. Well, he knew Joe Biden was going to be elected, but, you know, or, you know, people are still, you know, wanting Donald Trump to run for, you know, president. David Jeremiah says that by waiting for the future, when we look ahead, we are sacrificing the present. We're missing those opportunities that can come up. I was talking to somebody and they were telling me that, man, 2023 is going to be a busy life for me. You know? My daughter's getting married. My son's turning 50. My husband's turning 70. We're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. And I said to her, she said, well, we're just going to have parties. We're going to just be celebrating all year long. And I said, one, that's 365 days from now. And how do you know what's going to happen? How do you know what your plans are going to be? How do we know that COVID or that? So I have a friend that said when he came down with COVID, he told his wife, he said, one way or another, I'm going home. Either I'm coming to my home in Altoona, or I'm going to my heavenly home. Yesterday at the lighthouse, a pastor said that he tells his wife that if he gets COVID and dies, or if he dies, not only just if he gets COVID, but if he dies, they're both going to be rich. He's going to be rich walking the streets of gold, and she's going to be rich financially because he's worth more dead than he is alive. And in James talks about this theory of I can't wait till this happens. In James 4:13, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make it a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So the Bible kind of answers that, like, you know, and some of Jesus' parables. You know, the guy that said, man, I've got plenty. I got to build another barn. And Jesus said, you fool, you know, today. So it's tough to plan. You know, I have friends that now that I'm getting older, you know, have not put anything in retirement because they said God will provide. So, and even that you don't know, but you think about it, every day people are dying. Every day people are dying, and as John MacArthur says, you know, our most important job is to see the salvation of our friends and our family and to live that way. So what's a Christian to do in these tough times? We should be jealous or zealous for work, for the world. You know, in the word zealous isn't, usually we think of half wacko, you know, suicide bombers or whatever, that they're zealous for Islam or they're, you know, zealous for a cause or something, or you do things because you want to prove a point. But the definition is filled with a strong desire to get something done. You know, and we don't have that sometimes. We don't let people know that we're Christians. Because in this day and age of political correctness, you don't take a stand. You can't say, you know, premarital sex is wrong, or you can't criticize, but, you know, if somebody says, you know, I worked hard all my life and I deserve it. I deserve that new boat. Yeah, you do. But sometimes if God puts it in your heart to do something else with that money, you got to listen to it. And people aren't in awe of God anymore. You know, they're not, even some of the Christian songs, you know, God is great, God is faithful. But you don't hear, you know, I can't wait to meet God and he judge me on based upon what I've done in this life. You know, all God is love. But the one day I'm going to have to, every knee's going to bow. And we're going to have to account for what we've done in this world. And for some of us, it may not be, you know, good. Because I think sometimes we do that even with ourselves. Is, you know, you look back. I'm 62 and I'm looking back and saying, what impact have I done? You know, because sometimes you doubt it and you say, well, I don't have the wealth. I don't have the riches. My name's not on the, you know, my name's not in front of the Altoona Mirror. Because if you die and they put your obituary on the front page, that means you were somebody. You know, you were a pillar. So it's kind of like, well, what do I do? You know, has my life been a failure? But I think the point is we never know what made a difference in somebody else's lives and how changed somebody else's lives. There was that song, Carpe Diem, which is seize the day. And I think as a Christian, you realize that you never know who are the people you're going to encounter that day, or you never know what impacts something's going to happen on the day. You know, just an example, last weekend we were going down to see my son in Tawnytown, Maryland, and we stopped at a Christmas tree shop, which is kind of a, I don't know, how would you describe Christmas tree shop? They have everything, you know, they have napkins, because our car cannot go by a Christmas tree shop. Our Ford Escape, or Cindy's Ford Escape, does not go past a Christmas tree shop. They have to stop and shop, because they have a lot of Christmas stuff, and they have Valentine's Day, and so I'm there wandering around with my cart, and I hear this guy say to his wife, he says, like, you know, honey, can you hurry up? We got to get to Ollie's. And I said, yeah, and I chimed up, which I'm now starting to realize I do more and more. I'm like one of those progressive commercials turning into your parents. But I chimed up. I said, well, yeah. I said, the game starts at 4. And he says, oh, no, my team's playing tomorrow. Well, you know, I said, well, who's your team? And he said, the Steelers. I'm like, the Steelers? In Ravens country, you're a Steeler fan. So we start talking, and it ends up that the conversation turns to that he's a pastor. This guy's a pastor. Because he said, you know, if we're praying for the Steelers to win, there's somebody else on the other side praying for the Chiefs to win. He said, I guess that's not really what you're supposed to say as a pastor. So I said, well, where are you a pastor at? And he said that he had a smaller church, about 40 to 60 people. And so his wife left, and his son left that was with him. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, well, yeah. He said, a lot of times they want me to pray for them. So in a Christmas tree shop in Hagerstown, Maryland, I'm praying for this guy. I don't know what the name of his church is. I don't know what his name is. But just seizing that opportunity, something was saying to me, you know, you got to pray for this guy. And he was telling me about how they'd only been open for 6 weeks because Maryland's COVID policy or the mask and, you know, things like that. And they have to sanitize every chair every week. And it was just one of those God moments. You know, that doesn't just happen, in our lives. It happened in Acts 8. Acts 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was, "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? And from his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to see some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So that was kind of like a divine moment. I mean, you know, did you ever get that you say to yourself, "I got to go someplace"? You know, it's not your normal spot. And something happens at that point. You know, at some point you run into somebody, or, you know, you have that opportunity that you never go to such and such a store, and you just run in and you see somebody, and you end up haven't seen them in 20 years. You know, and Philip was told to go there, and he's going to a desert. You know, and Philip's like, "What am I doing in the desert? I mean, that's not the place I want to go. I don't want to go to a desert." And he runs into this Ethiopian who had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he was of some of the faith. He was seeking. He was of the Jewish faith. And he said, "Who is this? Who is he talking about when I'm reading this?" And Philip at that point was able to answer and said, "They're talking about Jesus." So sometimes we have to seize that moment, and we have to realize that moment. You know, there's been times that the Holy Spirit has said to me one day in the elevator, I don't know if I told you guys this, somebody was crying, this girl was crying. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she says, "I've had about enough of people praying for me." So I got off on the next floor. But, you know, you just, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you misread that. You know, and I still said, you know, "I don't know what she's going through, God," but, you know, I didn't say it to her because I was afraid. I was afraid for my life. But we have a sign now that we got at Christmas time that said, "Don't mistake God's timing for your agenda." And I think sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're in a hurry. We do that with our kids, you know, many times. If your child wants to play and you're like, "Okay, I'm reading this paper. I need to do this. Dad, I really need to talk to you." "Okay, that's fine. I'll wait. Just wait. And you forget. Or something that's important to them, and we fail to follow through. So the third point was, we got to tell your story. You know, I think it's so important to talk to people about what's God's what's God doing in your life? Not only to Christians, but non-Christians. You know, you can subtly, you don't have to hit people over the head with, you know, Bible thumping and all that, but, you know, sometimes just saying, you know, wow, I got this, you know, this check happened. You know, somebody sent me a check, I don't even know, you know. The Pennsylvania Treasury sent me a check for $180. And what did they send me $180 for? Because Cindy was looking through the newspaper and said, hey, your mom's name is listed on here. My mom's been dead for, passed away nine years ago. So I get the form, fill it out, and think, this will never happen. And we get a check that says for $150 or $180, I forget, because she had paid for, overpaid some account, and they put it in unclaimed property. And that wasn't expected, and it just happened that a bill came due that day that just almost took care of that. So I think it's important. When I was growing up, we used to have the testify. They'd say, does anybody want to testify? And usually people don't want to say anything. They, you know, talk about the, we talk about our aches and our pains, and but just saying how God's been good for us. You know, and when Jesus left, he said he'd send a comforter because he knew we couldn't do it. He wouldn't leave us as orphans. And as John MacArthur was talking about, the Holy Spirit. Kind of some big words that aren't my words, but this comes out of something that was sent by the national office. We need to be inhibited by the Spirit. And that means not of this world. We're in the world, but not of it. Either way, we're going to be going home, as I said, if you die, and either going home, or if you get COVID or whatever, you're going home. And you kind of sometimes, we know that this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. Convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know, did you ever have that time when the Holy Spirit says to you an audible voice, or not an audible voice, but in a still small voice, or even in the audible voice of somebody who loves you, who corrects you and says, you're a Christian, Dennis. You shouldn't have done that. What were you thinking? You know? And it's a really, if you guys have ever had that, it really doesn't make you feel good. Because if you're a Christian, it doesn't make you feel good. If you don't really care, if you don't want to really show Jesus to the world, you're just like, well, whatever. Business is business. So I cheated that person. But if you're a Christian and somebody points it out, or the Holy Spirit points it out, you're bothered by it. We're taught by the Holy Spirit too. You know, there's times that when I haven't done anything, when I should have done something, or when I do something, you just realize God's goodness. You know, because people coming up to you and saying, you know, 5 years ago I was really hurting and you prayed for me. Or, I really appreciate that. And we're helped by the Holy Spirit what to do. As those that were in Sunday school were talking, you know, as who am I going to marry? Well, that was already answered. You know, where am I going to go to school? You know, I don't think you can say to the Holy Spirit, well, we're both sitting here, and we're hungry, but we don't know where we're going. Can you tell us which one to go? You know, it's usually what coupon is in the book. But he doesn't do that, but he does tell us things. You know, if you're dating somebody, or you think, well, I need to do this, or I need to do that, you know, usually the Holy Spirit will convict us. Pastor at Altoona said that he was trying to decide whether to go to Toccoa Falls, which is in Georgia, and he was driving, and he said, you know, God, I need you to show me a way, and a U-Haul in front of him stopped, and it had Georgia license plates, and he said, well, I guess that's you showing me that you want me to go there. I don't think that was the only reason, but you know, that those things that, or you think of somebody and all of a sudden you run into them, you see them. Hopefully you don't, you know, run into them, but you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that quote of John MacArthur that says, we have to be dominated by the Holy Spirit. We have to feel that we're God's example to this world. Many in the Bible said, I must decrease, he must increase. And that's the way we have to do it. We have to continue to grow more Christ-like. We have to grow. If we look at what we were 2 years ago and we look at spiritually and what we are today, there should be a difference. There should be a difference in our world. If there isn't, that means not a difference in our world, in our world, our personally world. So if we're not different, and I hope that I am, well, I know that I am. And then the last one, we have to be enlivened by the Spirit. So, like I said, these aren't my words. I Googled the word enlivened. And the definition was one who's lively. Like, that really helps me. But you got to be so excited by it. You got to be so excited by what are you going to do for? What are you going to do today to help your kingdom? But I think our society has gotten that we're so burdened. As I was talking about in the beginning, the anticipation. And, you know, it's kind of like we have a backpack. And we worry about things. We worry about our health. You know, this is a pill counter. You guys know, so you worry about your health. We worry, are the Steelers going to win? Is my sports team going to win? You know, we worry, and it's heavy laden. If you guys, the last game of the season, the Steelers went into overtime. You know, that was heavy, and you figured, okay, they won. You know, we're going to the playoffs, and then that night, the game that the only way they couldn't get to the playoffs was if it ended in a tie. And a guy kicked a field goal at the end of the game to break the tie. Otherwise, there was a tie. There was a lot of things on Facebook about that. You know, a guy was like, oh, no, we're going to lose. You know, like he transpired it the whole day and all that. But it wasn't fun. We were worrying about that. Unfortunately, Mike Tomlin never called me and asked me if I wanted to kick. We're worried about our checkbook. We worry about our finances. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to have enough? What bills are we going to have? We worry about our future. This was a Christmas tree shop purchase. But St. Patrick's Day, we don't know what's going to be St. Patrick's Day. We don't know what's going to happen in St. Patrick's Day. But then even when we're carrying that burden, God sends a little things to us. Today, we were eating breakfast. Cindy's like, didn't know. This is a Rice Krispies Snap Crackle and Pop bowl hugger that you put it on your cereal bowl and they can watch you eat. Now, if that isn't a blessing, when was the last time you got something in a cereal box? And we worry about our family. We worry about our family. We worry about the health of our family members. This was taken August 1st, 2017, when we were down at the Ark in Kentucky. You know, I was looking around and I was trying to think. I didn't find a picture of my family because they're all on cameras now that you don't take pictures. But this was a picture Cindy and I got taken almost 5 years ago. But you worry about your family. We spend a lot of time worrying about our families. And then we worry about our time. How much time do I have left? This clock has stopped at 9:30, but you know, we worry about time. What are we going to do? But you know what God says to us? You don't dump that stuff out. You don't need that. You just worry about, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it tomorrow. In fact, he probably says, give me the bag too, so we won't refill it. So, in all of this, we're going to go to our last song, which is a song that I started singing, which is really bad, but it's an old hymn. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And you just think about that backpack and all the things that we're weighing ourselves down with. But as this song says, you know, all our burdens, we need to give them to Jesus. We need to give them to God and say, here, you take care of them. Because he is in control. He's not sitting up there wringing his hand and says, man, I didn't see that happening. So the altar is open. The altar is always open. Or pray in your own spot and just say that those things that are a burden are weighing you down. That you're saying, just you take them. I don't want them. You know? Says our load, his load is easy. So we'll do that song and then we'll close.